Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. If you are studying for a vocation, particularly to serve those in the church or to serve in the church, to bring the good news of Jesus to people in your community or around the world, and you didn't have all the resources you needed to do that, who might you call on to help with those resources? Well, are we given as the church to help our brothers and sisters in Christ in our own neighborhood and beyond around the world? Are we given to share those gifts that God has bestowed on us with our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world, that the good news of Jesus might be given in their community as well? We're going to talk about how we partner with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today to do that, and also take a look at how you can help neighbors right here in your own community, particularly children. What are ways that you can do that when a family is in need, perhaps needs some extra loving adults to help care for children in their families? We'll find out more about Bethany Christian Services and being a safe family for children. What does that mean in the second half? Joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Anthony Oliphant, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Elmhurst, Illinois, to share about ways that he and others serve our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, particularly in South Africa. Good morning, Pastor Oliphant.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning and learning about your work with the St. Philip Mission Society and serving our brothers and sisters in Christ in South Africa. How did you get connected with this opportunity to serve?
Well, it actually began about 9 years ago when I was a student at the seminary in Fort Wayne, and there was a large group of students went, and we took the class, got to know the students in the seminary in South Africa, and when we got back, we were talking about the differences between the seminaries there, the resources we had, the opportunities we had, as opposed to the situations that they had there. And we were looking for a sustained way to help once we were back stateside. And so there was a group of us that after our ordination, we kind of put our heads together and decided to form the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society as a way to raise awareness of the seminary there here in the U.S. and also to raise funds for things like student aid. And pretty much through that continued association with the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society and the seminary in South Africa, that was how this opportunity came up for me to go and co-teach a two-week course down in Pretoria.
What were, as a seminary student, as a seminarian, what were some of the key resources that were helpful in your formation at seminary?
Well, it certainly was, the faculty was probably the main resource, just having dedicated men who knew what it was to serve in the parish, who are able to apply theology in a way that really kind of opens your eyes to see what it is that we believe and what it is that we should be teaching when we get out there. And that was one of the things that we had noticed that we really had in Fort Wayne was a strong faculty, that the students in Pretoria had a very limited faculty just due to resources. Their faculty there is outstanding, the people that teach there full time. They just don't have as many of them to go around or to teach as many classes.
So the resources that you had at seminary certainly were important, were helpful. When you visited the seminary in South Africa, what did you notice? You mentioned earlier you noticed that not all those resources were available or accessible to the students. How does that make a difference in their formation?
Right. It means that they had to be very creative with the way that they went about with formation. They had a very limited library, and so they had to find ways to share fewer books. They had limited resources with which to buy their own books. For many of them in their home countries, they don't have many Lutheran resources that have been translated. And so there's a lot of I mean, they essentially have to spend their first year there learning English, which is one of the official languages in South Africa, but the students from other countries in the continent. And so it was trying to find ways to work around the problems, the lack of resources that they had. And it really was very impressive to us, and that was what really drove us to help them find even more ways.
Help us understand what the Lutheran Church looks like in South Africa. I'm sure we have listeners around the world, but I'm sure many of our listeners are here in North America and probably a part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How does the church look in South Africa, particularly when it comes to Lutherans in South Africa?
Yeah, well, the Lutherans have very deep roots. There are actually two Lutheran church bodies in South Africa that we're in fellowship with in the Missouri Synod. And that was one of the really striking things that we found there, was that we have just a remarkable amount of similarity. The language that we use, the hymns that we sing, the liturgies, the chapel services that they have daily at the seminary are directly out of Lutheran service book. And so in many ways, it would look and sound the same. In other ways, I mean, obviously, you have multiple languages showing up in a service, depending on who's in the choir. You may have them singing in their own home languages. And so you really do see a lot of variety there, but in a lot of ways, in the ways that it really matters, we have a lot of similarity and continuity.
So you mentioned when you visit the services are very similar. You're right out of the same orders of service that we use here and hymns as well. However, as you mentioned, the languages might be different. Anything else that an American might notice or take note of when visiting when it comes to Lutherans, whether it's worship or other aspects of congregational life?
There is one thing that I did notice, and that is that the majority of the folks that come to the services there tend to be what we would call middle age or maybe younger. That there's not a tremendous amount of older folks there. That actually is one of the things that they wish they could have, is a little bit more of the older, wiser folks to give some more legitimacy in the eyes of some of the African cultures there. That's what it takes. But to see so many people of my own age there, which is very rare in the in American Christianity, as you know.
What did you go seeking to do on your most recent trip to South Africa?
My most recent trip was twofold. First, I was going and I was co-teaching a class with Professor John Pless from the seminary, and that was it was a 2-week course, and it was to help prepare future pastors all across the continent of Africa. And the second task that I had was to go as a representative of the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society and kind of be some boots on the ground, keep my eyes open for future projects that we could take on, and also to really get a thoroughgoing understanding of where we stand with a library project that we've been working on for the last 2 years.
And tell me about the students that you met and that you were there to teach with Professor Pless.
Okay. The students are, I was just continually amazed with them. They come from all over the continent of Africa, everywhere from Sudan, Congo, Tanzania. They have a number of them that are from South Africa too. They're from all over the continent. Many of them learned English to go to seminary. And so they're working in a language that is not their first language, and yet they have a remarkable level of talent in speaking and understanding English. And the level of insight in their questions really was just stunning. They were able to take some very deep theological concepts and apply them to potential future situations that they might have in the congregation. And so they're able to really take what we were learning about Lutheran teaching and already have a level of application that is, to be quite honest, I probably didn't have until my first or second year in the office. But to see them able to apply that theology already was very encouraging.
As you interacted with the students at the seminary, what did you learn about you or about the church at large? Did you see anything about were there any, I guess, perhaps eye-opening experiences as you interact with the students at the seminary?
Yes, yeah. The first is that there are a lot of concerns that we have with the church here in North America that is that's shared with our brothers and sisters in Africa. And that, I think, comes down to the fact that we all share a fallen human nature, and so we all have to address issues like sin. And then, of course, the antidote to sin, salvation. Also learning in all of the places where we do have those levels of similarity that there are certain issues that are unique to us here in North America that maybe aren't quite as much on their radar there. For instance, I taught a unit on addressing the new atheism, which is just running rampant in the United States. It was something that just wasn't even on their radar. It's not a major problem for them. But of course, defending the divinity of Christ is a major problem because of the opponents that they're encountering in the form of Islamic teaching. And so learning kind of the different cycles that church bodies throughout the world go through and the different questions that they're asking, that they may vary from time to time, but at the root always goes back to the basic fundamental teachings of the church at all time.
And tell me about the work of the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society this is Lutheran Theological Seminary, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So tell me about some of the work that that the Mission Society is doing, and particularly what you were working on while you were there.
Yeah, for the last 2 years, as I had mentioned a little bit earlier, we noticed that one of the resources that we had in Fort Wayne that was just outstanding is a library, which the library has since been expanded even since the time that we were students there. And it's just a remarkable, remarkable asset for the seminary there in Fort Wayne. And so we were looking at a way to possibly expand the library in South Africa. And so for the last 2 years, we've been raising funds. We've been partnering with the Rocky Mountain District of the LCMS. And we've been looking for ways to get a brick-and-mortar project off the ground. Up until that point, we had been focusing solely on raising money for student aid, which is still something we're doing. That was one of the things we were dedicated to do, was to not lower our support of student aid, but to pick up this library project in addition to what we had been doing. And so we successfully have raised about $15,000. The Rocky Mountain District has matched that, and we're looking at possible plans, future strategic planning for the seminary, and where exactly that an expanded library would fit into the seminary, both in terms of just space, but also in terms of how it will function as an asset for the seminary in the future.
How does the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society connect, the saints here with the saints in South Africa?
Yeah, it's mostly been kind of through what you might call grassroots efforts. Everyone on our board of directors and all of our officers are all parish pastors. And so we work in our home congregations to raise awareness. We've been invited to speak at mission festivals to inform people that aren't in our congregation about the good work that's going on there. We've also been invited to set up booths and present at at different fairs. For instance, I've been at Concordia Chicago. We had a booth for the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society there, and I had the opportunity to speak to a group of students over lunch. And so at this point, it's just kind of raising awareness of the fact that there's a lot of tremendous work going on at Lutheran Theological Seminary that's really benefiting the future of confessional Lutheranism throughout the entire continent of Africa.
How many students does this society serve today? How many students are served at the seminary presently? Is it Tshwane?
Yes, in Tshwane. Yes,
Tshwane.
There are 37 students there. There were going to be more that they had some trouble getting their visas to go to South Africa from their home countries, which it seems to be a perennial problem, just being able to get there for studies. But yeah, they had 37 students there. The class that I taught was primarily for seniors, for students who are in their last year or two of studies. We did have a couple of juniors come in as well, though, and several local area pastors that are already out serving the flocks around there, and so they come to these things as sort of a continuing education course.
Where do the students come from who come to the seminary? You mentioned some, you know, the numbers would be greater had some not encountered some of the difficulties of getting there because of, you know, from going from one country to another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come from all over. There were several students from the Congo. There are about four or five students from Ethiopia. There's one student from Sudan. And so they come from all over the continent. And you can really see the ripple effect that seminary education there has as they take what they learn and they go back to their home countries.
Tell me about the faculty who serve there now. I know that you mentioned you and Professor Pless went as guests to teach. But tell me a little bit more about the seminary, the faculty, and the other programs, the programs that are offered at this seminary.
Yeah, well, the rector of the seminary is Dr. Wilhelm Weber, and he teaches a number of courses there in addition to running the day-to-day operations of the seminary, and he's our main contact point. While I was there, I also was able to meet Dr. Carl Bomer, and he is another instructor there. And then they also have a handful of professors that come in from throughout the world, and they kind of rotate in and out on a two-week cycle like we did. And so they, and as they're able to, they like to make use of the local University of Pretoria there as well. And so they will sometimes partner up with people from their religion or theology faculty there, and they will do some short-term projects together.
So these students and the faculty really come from a variety of places, including guest professors who are visiting and lecturing as well. And then the students go out from this seminary and serve not just in the local community, but many of them going back to their home countries, it sounds like.
Yes, yeah.
So having a seminary in this part of the world really is quite significant. What do you think the Lutheran Church would look like in South Africa without the seminary, without the resources that the seminary needs to provide formation for these future pastors?
Yeah, it's so hard to imagine it that I honestly can't picture what the Lutheran Church in South Africa would look like without the seminary. It has such an impact on the students that are from South Africa, of course, and then the students coming from all over. The fact that it serves as kind of a rallying point for continuing education and ongoing fellowship with the pastors that have already been ordained in the area, that it's really incalculable how important the seminary is to the church there in South Africa.
So with the work of pastors like you who go and serve as guest professors, guest lecturers, and some of our seminary professors really supporting that education, and then the work of St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society to provide more resources, such as a library. What's the outlook for this library at Lutheran Theological Seminary?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we had initially looked at just kind of expanding the space, trying to have more room. As it is right now, the building that they have just simply doesn't have enough room for the books. So they have books stored in various places throughout their campus. And we had initially looked at just kind of expanding a space. And then the more that I spoke to the faculty and staff there, the more it came out that what we really are looking to do is more than just storage for books. We're looking at also creating a center for solid Lutheran study and research, something that can serve as a rallying point for the entire continent, a place that has a facility that's also able to assist other Lutheran seminaries throughout Africa, either through internet connectivity or through sort of an interlibrary loaning process, something that would be able to serve the entire continent by being a real center for research and study.
Are there others besides students who are studying for pastoral formation? Are there others who are served by the seminary as well?
Yes, the seminary does have a daycare center, which is an amazing resource, an amazing asset for the neighborhood there. There are over 10,000 students or 10,000 children in the city of Pretoria that are just unable to get into early childhood education. And so to open up a daycare center, they've increased their size by tenfold in 3 years. And so there are a number of children that are served by the seminary's location there. There are also deaconess students who are training, and there are a few families that have come with the students who are given a nice, safe place to live while their husbands and fathers are studying to become pastors.
So there is a sense of, it sounds like there's a sense of community at the seminary.
Yes, a very strong sense. Yeah.
What role does it play? You mentioned having a daycare. How is the seminary regarded by the community there in Shawana?
It's strongly respected. The way that the education system there goes is every school is expected to matriculate into another school. And there's a local academy that holds the daycare center at the seminary in high enough regard that their students from the preschool are given priority to matriculate into the academy there, which is just down the street. The university will invite the faculty from the seminary to participate in a few local events. Actually, while I was there, the theology faculty invited the professors from the seminary to attend a anniversary celebration. I believe it was the 100th year anniversary of the theology faculty existing at the University of Pretoria. And so there is a lot of cooperation, and the seminary is held in quite high regard by other organizations in the area.
So the more that we can do to support the seminary so that it may continue to be a beacon and a place where the gospel is taught and men are equipped to be servants of the church, to be these servants of the word with this great education happening at Lutheran Theological Seminary, and as well as the diaconate and others who benefit from training at the seminary. This is an important thing, that important step that we need to take to continue to support this formation and education in at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Shawana. What can we do to help the St. Philip Mission Society do that work?
Well, first, you can take a look at the work that we have going on. We have a website, splms.org. There's also an option to donate through PayPal for those who are so moved to do that. And so We receive donations through PayPal, through checks. Any invitations, our board of directors is always open to looking at ways to come and speak to area congregations or mission festivals about the work that's going on there and ways that can be helped. And of course, obviously, the way that every Christian is given to help is through prayer for the students that are there, for the persecuted churches that they're sometimes coming from, and for the gospel to go out free and unhindered.
My guest today, the Reverend Anthony Oliphant, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Elmhurst, Illinois. Pastor Oliphant, thanks for sharing about the great work that the St. Philip Lutheran Mission Society is doing at Lutheran Theological Seminary in Shawana. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll learn more about Safe Families for Children. Also want to take a moment to say thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, the great work that they do in supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Check them out in the sponsor section, kfuo.org. More Faith and Family on the way right after this break.